Charles. This is Crosstalk, the gospel for today and beyond. We're in pursuit of growing in our understanding of the gospel and discovering what it means to transfer to the next generation. And Dad, we took a little bit of a break last week just because work had an emergency.
Work does get in the way sometimes.
I had to go up to Indy, and so we weren't able to record on our normal time on Mondays that we normally do. And those who don't know, we do these on Mondays so that we can release them hopefully by the middle of the week. So we want to pick back up where we left off. We were talking about short-term missions, but now we're moving into long-term missions. And quite frankly, I think it's safe to say, and hopefully by when we get done, people will agree that long-term missions is really where we want to go when it comes to Great Commission work.
Right.
That's where we really want to see people, is to commit to going and spending their life, being spent for the sake of the gospel.
Right.
So I think that's really the trajectory we want to have people go. So today we're going to move into talking about that. One is, first of all, the preparation for a life of missions. And then there's going to be a price involved. So the price for a life of missions, and then the perspective of a life of missions. So just kind of jumping in here, what preparations are involved when it comes to going on the mission field?
Well, sometimes when we talk about the qualifications for a pastor, I've often sort of tongue-in-cheek said, what all of us ought to do, what ought to be true of all of us must be true of a pastor,
right.
Which is kind of double talk, because we're all supposed to grow and show certain qualities in our lives.
Right.
And so really Christian growth, and we're going to talk about two things here. We're talking about the growth needed and the maturity needed, and that should be true of Christians. We should be bringing people up to do this, you know. So we think
about the church in general, or I should say more specific, the local church, should be about raising up people who will answer that call.
Right.
Right.
Well, we kind of expect that some people will be committed and some people won't. We've gotten used to that. That's not something that's good to get used to.
Right.
I mean, commitment in the Christian life is not an option, and so it's not like you can be a Christian.
We look at it as Christ.
We do. Well, some people are really committed and some aren't, you know.
Right. Nominal Christians.
Yeah.
That phrase is used. Okay, so we're talking about preparation. What are the things that we're looking for?
Well, there needs to be some growth. We're talking about the growth needed, and there just needs to be evidence of growth, that someone is growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. They're growing in their love for Christ. If they're married, they're growing as a spouse. If they have children, they're growing as a parent. If they're a churchman or a churchwoman, they're growing in their involvement in the body. If they're not really involved in the body, then they're not growing in that, then...
So there needs to be some sense of... They need to be exemplary in these things, I guess is better way to put it.
Of note.
Right.
you shouldn't have to say, is that person really growing? It should be evident that that they're growing. And so, I mean, you wouldn't want a non-growing Christian to say, I'm going to... And in some ways, you said maybe they wouldn't say, I want to spend my life on the mission field. But it's funny what we call growth, and it's funny what we don't recognize or do recognize as growth. And so, I mean, we ought to see this growth going on, the spiritual growth going on, which leads us to the second point. There's a maturity needed.
Mm-hmm.
And there should be a certain measure of maturity.
Okay, so when you say maturity, I feel like that word, it may be a little bit vague. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, Scripture says that if a man's going to go into the ministry, he shouldn't be a novice. Or he's going to be a deacon, he shouldn't be a novice.
Came to my mind when I asked that question.
Well, lest he be lifted up with pride.
Right.
Or he become a patsy for the devil.
Right.
You know, that's easy because of a lack of maturity. So there needs to be some... Now, some people seem to mature more quickly than others.
Right.
That can be deceptive, but we'll give it that. So if you're going to see someone who's been saved for 3 years,
and
they just have been on fire and they've been growing ever since, and evidence of growth, more evidence than you might see normally, then I'm not saying they can't go if they've just been saved 3 or 4 years, but I think we know what we mean when we say a person is growing in grace, they're growing in fruit of the Spirit.
Right.
They long and seek to be more like Jesus. They're question askers. They're They do want to serve, they, you know, and but their knowledge of Scripture and of its application to life is growing. These are things that give a certain measure of maturity.
Well, I think also it's interesting, people who maybe only been a believer for 1 to 2 years and it seemed to grow very fast, I think there still needs to be some marked, not concern, but wisdom as we approach that, because they're usually typically what I find, people who haven't been believers for a long time, maybe don't even come from a Christian background, so they don't know our lingo, if you will. And
right.
I don't mean to use it that way necessarily, but I find that there's usually some things they haven't dealt with in their life.
And
they have to scrape across the surface and get that out of the way.
Right. That's why when I was talking just a few moments ago, I said, you know, there are those people, granted, that look as though they grow very quickly, mm-hmm. but that what you say is definitely should be a part of that thinking. We can't just assume that because people are really, really into things
right.
that they have the maturity to go give their lives to missions.
Well, I think that's why it's important that we have to be marked by discipleship
right.
within our own church.
Yeah.
Because if people are not being discipled and are not being invested in, whether it's through an older man or a woman or an older couple that's, you know, investing in you, however that looks, it really stands to ask, are you ready to go if that's not been happening in your life? You know, how will we, who do we ask to be able to measure this by?
Well, I think if, yeah, in that case, if a pastor or elder is discipling someone or a deacon or another mature person,
right.
that person should have some insight into the level of maturity.
Very at a very basic level, there needs to be maturity both theologically and what you believe and
yeah.
your strength of faith
right.
and what you believe. There needs to be some marked maturity in just if you're a married person in your relationship with your wife and your kids and
right.
how that flows out. There needs to be marked maturity in your own personal life.
As a person
right.
overcoming sin.
Right. Right. And I noticed I just made a comment. If you're a wife, then obviously your relationship with your husband and your kids.
Right.
You know,
right.
so I think those at the very basic have to be looked at.
Yeah.
And how do you respond under pressure?
Yeah. Because there
yeah.
will be pressure.
Because that's the question I would want to ask your husband or your wife, vice versa. How does he respond? How does she respond under pressure?
Right.
Or if you work with someone within the church, how do they respond when they have to be committed when it hurts?
Yeah.
When maybe it
yeah.
gets in the way of what they like to do.
Yeah. You may remember we had a class for people who are interested in ministry,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I taught sort of pastoral ministries class. And one of the things I said was, if I can talk you out of this, I will.
Right.
Not because I don't want them to do it, but because if they see the cost, and we're going to talk about that next, but if they see what's going on with that, what pressure is, it makes people see whether they have that measure of maturity or not.
Yeah. There's nothing like a little pressure to reveal that.
Yeah.
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 Okay, so the price for a life of missions, or what is the cost?
Yeah, it's interesting that you said a moment ago, as I caught that when you said, you know, we really want to see people spend their lives. Well, that's a good word, spend.
Mm.
And it's spend and expend, but people need to realize the investment we're talking about. And, you know, somebody's going to be a pastor, and pastors and their wives need to realize this is an investment. It's going to put some
pressure. Is it a reckless spending?
I'm sorry?
Is it a reckless spending? So, you know, you take somebody who has a bank account and they have lots of money and they're just spending it willy-nilly. Or you have the guy who wisely invests his time and money so that it gives incredible growth.
Right. Right. It's well, where is he putting his money?
No, but I'm
saying,
who is it? Which
yeah.
one is it?
Well, I think it's the person who's investing, and that's what we're talking about here.
So who's more wisely investing the resources God has given him.
Yeah, yeah.
But at some point, there is a sense in which you're recklessly abandoned.
You're still spending.
Yeah.
You're still expending. Well, and let's talk about this. There's a sort of a three-step thing here we want to look at when it comes to price and to investment. Well, the first is chronological investment. I used that. I thought about that before I threw that big word out there.
Mm-hmm.
But in the New Testament, there are two words for time. One has to do with a point in time or time in general.
Right.
Or like this is the time.
Right.
But then one comes, is the word from which we derive our English word chronology, or it's chronos or chronos. And that has to do with opportunity or with more expended time over time. And so people need to realize if they're going to give their life to something, well, there's going to be a chronological investment, this ongoing day after
not
day,
not just one time,
week after week, year after year,
drop and go,
paying the price.
Yeah,
yeah. And then there's what I would call a physical investment, just energy and effort, work.
I don't think people want to do that.
I don't think many people realize that we're talking about work. You better want to work, you know.
Yeah, one of the things that I find very fascinating is people offer to help to do certain things. It could be whether it's stuff in the church or in your own personal life. And they're okay with it for a while, but then they don't want to see it through.
Right.
And you can't have that when you're a missionary.
No.
When you're going to
You're
going to
hit some brick walls as you're going through this chronological investment, and now you're physically expending yourself. They're going to, should you get rest? Yes. Should you get re-rested and re-energized? Yes. Right. But there are going to be times when you spent it all and you're whipped. So there's this physical investment, and then there's a spiritual investment. I think in the end, you know, our praying, our meditating, our seeking the Lord and His Word is a part of this that rejuvenates us and empowers us to make this other investment. They all work together, dovetail together. But this is a spiritual investment. We're praying for the souls of people. We're investing in the kingdom. We're not just pursuing a career. And, you know, some people die on the mission field.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Some people actually literally give their life for the sake of the gospel.
Of course, we all can think of Jim Elliot, but there have been a number of people who have done that. So that's something of the price. It's not the whole picture, but it's
No, absolutely. And so we have the preparation, we have the price, which I think in some ways, if you're being discipled and growing, you're going to be willing to pay the price. you know what I'm saying? So kind of one precipitates the other. But lastly, the perspective of a life of missions. What should be our thinking? I feel like we've gotten a little bit of perspective.
Well, we have. And actually, this is kind of, in some ways, is repetitious, but it's just flows out of the rest of it. Because if you don't go with the right perspective, again, now you're going to be either disappointed or I can't do it. You know?
Right.
It's good to know something. You can't know it all, but something of that perspective before you go. And one is just a practical perspective, and that's understandable. We think in terms of numbers, we think in terms of outward results. You know, when I pray for people in the ministry, I often pray that God will give them outward fruit so that they can be encouraged that their work is doing something. But God doesn't always give much outward fruit, you know.
Right.
So, but that's a part of it. We want to see souls saved. We want to see Christians grow. We want to see churches built. We want to see other needs met. So there's just the practical perspective. But then there's a spiritual perspective. We're really there about changing lives. And lives don't get changed all at once. I mean, they do. Conversion happens. It's a once experience, and people do get changed immediately, but they also get changed gradually.
Well, there's something to be said for the person who plants their life in a place, whether you're a pastor or a missionary.
Mm-hmm.
I think pastors probably one of the greatest examples, because I don't think you're going to see growth and change in just a year.
Right.
And one of the old, and I think it's changed in a lot of ways with pastors, but we would bring a pastor in, and he was just the stepping stone, especially if it was a smaller church, to the next big thing, as if it was a career.
So he had to make something really happen there, so he'd have some credentials to go somewhere else,
And I was just totally backwards in the way biblically we need to have our respective, you know, focused. And I think, you know, this idea that, you know, you're going to have to literally invest your life there.
Well, if you go back to Jim Elliot, I mean, he and his friends died.
Right.
But the fellow who was instrumental in his murder or his killing was converted years later.
And he never saw that.
Right. Well, at least not here.
At least not on earth. Yeah.
So this is spiritual perspective. This, we're doing spiritual work. It has practical implications, and we have practical investment. But and then we have to think in terms of eternity.
Mm.
Now that's the
Which
hardest thing.
Which is really true of all of aspects
that's,
of
that's
life.
For the Christian, that's right. You know, we don't look at the things that are seen, we look at the things that are not seen. All those, that means our focus is eternal. Doesn't mean we don't see these things and we're not concerned about souls and about changed lives and about other practical needs. But in the end, we're making an eternal investment. We will not see the whole picture of what our investment did until eternity.
I mean, was it not Ernard Judson who only saw one
I think it was him. Yeah, I was thinking I was thinking through this. Yeah.
And you read a lot of biographies of the old missionaries. They knew how to be spent.
Yeah.
And they knew what it meant to give a life. Because let's face it, we have a lot of nice amenities now across the world that make missionarying a lot easier than what it used to be. Not that it's not going to be hard. We don't want to diminish that. Right. Depending on where you go, that can change. But by and large, if you need to get home, you can get home within a day.
Most people can. Yeah. In hours. Yes. Yeah. Or a day. Yeah.
Which is cool because now the ability to get to people and share the gospel is so much easier.
There are benefits. It's good. It's not bad. But, you know, I think of a song that was popular, I think it was the 80s or 90s, it was a Christian song, Thank You.
Mm-hmm.
And
Ray Bolts was the one.
Yeah, and he talked about, I dreamed I went to heaven, and you were there with me. We walked along the streets of gold beside the crystal sea. And he talks about someone, you heard someone call your name.
Mm-hmm.
I can't hardly think about that without the emotion, because there's going to be something of that. He's smiling as he came. Why's he smiling? Because you made an investment. You didn't even know.
Right. What you're supposed to be doing.
Exactly. Have to keep that eternal perspective.
With all of this said, so obviously we talked about the preparation, the price, the perspective. If a person does not show evidence of these things, I guess it's probably a fair bet to say they're not ready to be a missionary, a long-term missionary.
Maybe they need some work. And we all need work.
Right.
But they're saying, I'm going to leave this.
What I know.
And invest my life there.
To what I don't know.
A lot, Well, hey, I personally know, personal friend, who I would have said was ready to go.
Mm.
He's not a Christian.
Right.
I thought he was.
Right.
He was theologically sound. And he washed out.
Left his wife.
I always say that. I'm sorry?
Left his wife.
Yeah. And has rejected Christ and Christianity, which means he wasn't real in the first place.
Right.
But the only point of that is we need to think it through. We need to think these things through. You're going to give your life to something? Think it through. Pray it through. Get counsel. The body of Christ needs to think these things through.
Yeah. All the way from the leadership to the lay.
Yeah.
All person sitting in the pew, absolutely. Well, this is good, and I'm just going to tell our listeners, this is our second to last episode. Our next episode, I'm going to take some time and interview you in regards to your experience in pastoral ministry and how maybe some things that you would have done different now that you could, or things that you found were very effective as it came to pastoring and ministering and then leading people to go into mission field, that kind of thing. So looking forward to that.
Right.
Kind of whet the appetite for our listeners.
I'm not sure if I'm looking forward to that.
Okay. Well, I'll do what I often do when I'm interviewing people at church, and I throw questions out that they're not ready to answer.
Yeah,
so.
Which is good. Yeah.
We
will look forward to that.
Well, this is good. So, well, we do appreciate everyone being with us today. We look forward to being with you next week. Crosstalk is a production of Vision for Living Ministries. This is a free resource, but if you would like to support us, you can do so by visiting visionforliving.org/support. For more information on Vision for Living Ministries, visit our website where you will find other resources, including our blog. You can also find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/V4L. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at info@visionforliving.org or send us a message on Facebook. Join us next week on Crosstalk, the gospel for today.